FHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief, just hours before President Trump's new tariffs were set to take effect, he announced a new higher round on many countries that'll kick in next Thursday. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The tariff on goods from China remains at around 40%, and President Trump signed a separate executive order raising the tariff on imports from Canada to 35% immediately.
Still no word on a motive, but a 28-year-old teacher has confessed to killing a husband and wife at an Arkansas state park while they were hiking with their two young daughters, State Police Colonel Mike Hager.
We do believe he acted alone. We have absolutely no reason to believe that there's anyone else involved.
Deadly flooding swept the Northeast. This driver had to stop near Baltimore.
I never seen it like this before. Once I came across that railroad track and got here, I figured I could keep going, but I couldn't.
A 13-year-old died when he was swept into a drain pipe in Maryland. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wood County Sheriff's Department is again warning of a man calling residents and claiming to be from the Wood County Sheriff's Office. The caller is advising people that they failed to appear in court and will be arrested. If you receive a call like this, do not give out any personal information. It's best to hang up and call the Sheriff's Department to report the call at their non-emergency number, 715-421-8700. The Marshfield Police Department issued a warning yesterday of scammers writing worthless checks to purchase vehicles. Since then, the department has made contact with one of the individuals involved in the incident that happened on June 28th at Wheeler's of Marshfield. Corey Aaron Berendez, age 27, has been cleared from the investigation. The original report said Berendez accompanied 48-year-old Jamie Sue Wolbing for a vehicle purchase with a $60,000 check. The check bounced back as NSF. Berendez returned the vehicle, but the dealership found parts were missing, and the police department said the missing parts were sold. They claim it's possible the woman, Jamie Sue Wolbing, is involved with similar scams throughout the state. Wolbing may also be using the last names of Boring, Reitmeyer, or any combination of the three. If you have any information, you can contact the Marshfield Police Department. Republican state lawmakers are circulating legislation that would make it easier for parents to opt their children out of vaccine requirements for school and child care centers. The proposed legislation would not make changes to current state law, but aims to inform parents of their right to waive the requirements for their child. The current state law allows parents to submit a written statement waiving the requirement for medical, religious, or personal reasons. Vaccination rates for Wisconsin children have been declining since the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay with another practice in pads before tomorrow night's family night inside Lambeau Field. On defense, it appears that Keyshawn Nixon and newcomer Nate Hobbs are in the lead as the two defensive backs at corner. Baseball, the Brewers against the Nationals tonight in Washington, D.C. Jose Quintana against the Nationals left-hander Mitchell Parker. The Brewers making some moves before the trade deadline, including sending pitcher Nestor Cortez to San Diego for outfielder Brandon Lockride. It looks like Jackson Churio will be out for a while with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, we're hanging in there. That's all there's to it. We've been injured all year long, whether it's, you know, the guys that the 12 pitchers that weren't available when we started, you know, the Mitchell, the Perkins, the guys we've been without. We're out with Sal for a while. Hopefully we're not without Churio, you know, like all that stuff.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. It'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers. But we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapahoe Way, you got to pray for yourself. as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Great Wisconsin State Fair is underway. Join us for Audio Sorbet, your favorite state fair memories. That's all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. It's a Friday morning. It is the first day of August, 2025. Welcome to the dog days of summer. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson produces our little festival of radio down at Madison Studio A2, and Brittany Merlot will have our forecast in just a bit. Coming up this hour yet, we'll have our Week in Review panel, Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel. Next hour, we'll be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She will be talking about her decision to run for governor, talk about her background as a nurse and as a healthcare leader before deciding to run for a seat in the legislature. We'll ask her what prompted that, had something to do with the way the pandemic was being handled by certain politicians, and what she would do if she were to be elected governor of the state of Wisconsin in November of next year. So that is all coming up 1 hour from now. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along next hour as well. Mike Clemens will have sports. We've got the Packer training camp. We've got the Brewers with a big series against the Washington Nationals this weekend in the nation's capital, which reminds me, it's Free Ticket Friday. This is your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to a Brewers game. All you have to do is listen, get our keyword, use that Civic Media app, and text that keyword to us before the end of the show at 9 a.m. You'll be entered in a statewide contest for four tickets to see the Brewers-Mets game next Friday evening, August 8th. You have to be able to receive and use electronic tickets on your phone. And again, you need to text us this keyword, FLY. FLY, F-L-Y. Just text that. Don't text anything else. Just text that and you'll get into a drawing for a four-pack of club-level seats. Remember, you can get the Civic Media app at the Apple or Google stores. Find the station, use the text button, and listen throughout the day. More chances to win. After all, last week's winner, Jim at Brookfield, listened to and got four different keywords. And I have no idea which keyword was the one that was pulled that made him a winner. But I'm taking credit for it because, you know, who's going to stop me? On the text line, oh, look, it's Jim in Brookfield. Congratulations, Pat, on three successful years on Civic Media. You've provided common sense and a voice of reason in this unstable world of media that we have today. Many more years to come. Thank you, Jim. Yes, we started this as Up North News Radio 3 years ago today, August 1st of 2022, as an 8 to 11 in the morning show. Shortly thereafter, we moved to 6 to 8 in the morning, and now recently 6 to 9 a.m., and it's been a heck of a lot of fun for all 614 shows all this time. Only 614. Brittany feels like it's been 1,000 or more, but she keeps coming back for more, and we appreciate every little bit of it. How's Brittany today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, except that, I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. This smoke is a downer. It just is. It's a buzzkill, and not just from the, you know, the psychological aspect. You know, it's like a fog that never lifts. But if you have to go outside at all, even if you're young and healthy, you feel it right away in your eyes or someplace. And so it's a reminder that it's more than a nuisance. It's something to take seriously.
It really is. I mean, we've got this wildfire particles that have maxed out. I mean, yesterday morning, early in the morning, Door County areas far northeast in the state, your particles were at about 225. That is very unhealthy levels. We were the worst pollution, you know, air pollution in the world yesterday. That even leaked down towards Milwaukee. Madison felt that as well. Just that nasty, nasty haze blocking the sunshine. It was actually clear skies yesterday, but you could barely see it in a lot of places because it looked like a fog, just a, you know, kind of a thin overcast blocking that sunshine. And a lot of people are kind of getting fed up because not the conditions to open up the windows and get some free AC while these temperatures are comfortable, right? This is the time we're usually trying to save some money on that electric bill, and we're not able to because we're keeping the AC on and windows closed to keep that stuff out. Air purifiers are good too, filters too, just different ways to help yourself. But of course, try to stay inside and limit wild activity, right? I'm not going out there and biking and hiking. I am staying put and staying inside because it is affecting me too. I walk outside and I get a massive headache. Unfortunately, we are still in an active air quality alert through at least noon today. Unfortunately, I do think it's going to linger here to some capacity through the entire weekend. Hopefully not unhealthy levels. Hopefully it'll be thinning out as we go through the afternoon and into tomorrow. But the high pressure system that brought it here isn't moving. That's why we're in this dry stretch. So I do think a lot of it is going to kind of stick around. Right now it is worse further north and west in the state. It is starting to ease up to decent moderate levels and towards the lakeshore of Lake Michigan, Milwaukee, and Madison. You're seeing some relief there. So hopefully that'll continue to lift north. But again, keep in mind parts could start to spike as we go into the weekend still. High pressure keeps us nice and dry. Mid to upper 70s today, upper 70s tomorrow, and into the rest of the weekend. We turn a little bit more muggy next week, and the rain holds off until at least Monday night far north and into Tuesday for the rest of us.
It is so pleasant temperature-wise. And just so, and again, it's going to be not rainy, so I dropped the top on the Jeep. This would be the best time of year to have, you know, just an open-air ride. And we did go for a drive yesterday, and it wasn't the same because of the haze out there. And of course, driving home, the sunset, I mean, they always say you can only look at the sun through, like, you know, smoked glass or something like that.
Yeah.
The smoke was so thick, it essentially served as that. Now again, don't stare right at the sun, kids, but I mean, you could never see a sunset that quote unquote clear, but that, you know, brilliantly pink as through the smoke that we've had here. It was Star Wars-esque, essentially. Yeah. it was like being in a science fiction movie. It really has been.
So, and that's the positive. The one positive I can find is beautiful sunrise, sunset pictures, but the rest
we get that. Yes. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. It's hazy, smoky sunshine and 49 degrees. I mowed 3 yards in rural Tigerton. Despite the smoke, it had a September feel outside. Today I got a yard to mow and then run some errands. That smoke does really tire you out. When I got home from work, I sat down on my recliner and fell asleep for 2 hours. I totally get that. We had Rick Springfield last segment in our history lesson. When I hear Rick Springfield, I always crank up the radio. I remember going to Pizza Hut with my family. I always played Rick Springfield on the jukebox. and you know, I like the nostalgia posts that go up about Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut in the 80s was as kitschy as it gets, and we loved it. With the fake old-timey feel, the stained glass, the jukebox, you usually had Ms. Pac-Man as a video game to play. It was a definite slice of time back then.
That sounds awesome.
It was awesome. Rob says, thank you, Pat, for your service at Civic Media. Hope for many more years of service. Also notes that he's been getting migraine headaches in recent days working outside. And Tony on YouTube says, hey, 1990s too. So Pizza Hut stayed kitschy well into the 90s, which is it's true, because I remember they were doing the read a book thing where you'd get the coupons for Pizza Hut if you read so many books. And our daughters would bring those home all the time. They're like, oh, look, we're having pizza again. Okay. now I kind of miss it, you know. Let's see. From Tom in Hartford on the text line, I thought I saw a 39-degree reading up by Land O'Lakes.
I was just going to say, when Rob called out the 49-degree, I was like, oh, I forgot to say 39 degrees in Kings right now.
Wow. What?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was warning for the cranberry marshes about frost, because, you know, the marshes are cooler, they're lower. Oh, yeah. They're likely getting some frost this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right.
I know.
Brittany, we appreciate the update. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Stay away from those headaches. There are a lot of fairs and festivals going on this weekend. There is, of course, the Wisconsin State Fair, which got started yesterday in West Allis. There is the Head of the Lakes Fair in Superior, the Jackson County Fair in Black River Falls. Now, that's the one Selena Heller will certainly be at. That's her hometown county fair, where she talks about the Combine Demolition Derby. Yes, where people take combines off of farms, not new ones, and smash them into each other. It's big fun to watch. I saw the video of it. Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau runs through tomorrow. The rest of these run through Sunday. The Iron County Fair up in Saxon, the Ozaukee County Fair in Cedarburg, Buffalo Pepin County Fair in Mondovi, the Green Lake County Fair in Green Lake, and the Winnebago County Fair in Oshkosh. There's no shortage either of some of the more, shall we say, community festivals that are going on out there. And you can head over to travelwisconsin.com, and you can just simply put in a date range, and up will come things like, well, today is the Bonduelle Lions Club Corn Roast. Tonight is the Downtown Beloit Street Dance. There's Blues on the Chippewa. That's underway in Durand. Jack Pine Savage Days in Spooner. There's a Saluting Our Heroes Balloon Rally in Rhinelander this weekend. Brat Days in Sheboygan. There's Goat Fest in Jefferson. That one intrigues me. Tomorrow, National Mustard Day is celebrated in Middleton, home of the Mustard Museum that's out there. And, I mean, just so much. Oh, here's one. Wisconsin IPA Fest in Milwaukee, it says here, is tomorrow. Parker, you know the best way to handle an IPA when it's been served to you, right?
Drink it quickly.
No, you pour it right down into the drain. That's exactly how you handle an IPA. I know.
Yeah.
Sacrilege. I get people mad every time when that comes up.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the IPA.
They're all more hoppy than a zoo full of kangaroos. They're just...
Yeah.
You have to really like what you like for that.
Yeah.
But it depends on your palate. Look, I think scotch tastes like gasoline. I've sipped what people say is the finest scotch out there, and I'm pretty sure I would get more miles per gallon in the Jeep. But, you know, bourbon, which is not that much different, you can taste that. So beer drinkers as well, people like what they like.
Yeah,
and
I like beer.
If you like an IPA, well, there you go. There's the festival for you coming up. The Brewers were off yesterday. They are headed toward Washington, D.C. They're there now for a series against the Washington Nationals, and they are still on top of the National League Central Division by a game over the Cubs. Are you working Madison Mallard games this weekend?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, go look at them there.
Yes, sir. All right. Better not be smoky tonight.
No, I got bad news for you. Sorry about that. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, has an article about Congressman Brian Stile holding an in-person town hall. So you got to give him a little credit for that. But he was met with consistent booing last night as scores of attendees jeered the Janesville Republican over his support for President Donald Trump's policies. Stile, it says in the newspaper article here, struggled to get through answers from a crowd of more than 250 people gathered in the Elkhorn Area High School auditorium. Many interjected with yells of disagreement over everything from border security to tariffs to Trump's recently signed mega bill. It was the first in-person town hall for any Wisconsin Republican since House Republican leadership in March advised members to avoid in-person events. It was Stile's first in-person session since January. Stile, in the article it says here from Lawrence Andrea, backed Trump's efforts on immigration. He defended the administration's dismantling of the Department of Education, and he stood by Trump's use of tariffs. He mentioned the national debt as a challenge facing the country, and one attendee yelled, "Thanks to you." And that, to me, I mean, it negates any goodwill that Congressman Stile did by having an in-person town hall. I mean, you know, there's expressions I could use, but I can't use on the radio. But don't tell somebody that the national debt is a problem when you just voted to make it $4 trillion worse. A local update is next for some of you and our Week in Review panel coming up here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the Honey Buddy Chicken Biscuit for just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck, so you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
All eyes will be on the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters as they become the Central Wisconsin Mashers in tribute to all the potato farming brings to our area. Join them for their annual Mashers Night on Friday, August 1st. Don't miss your chance to win one of the specialty jerseys in their silent auction presented by Food and Farm Exploration Center and McCain's Foods. Gather your family and head on down to historic Winterfield for this spudtastic game as the Rafters try to mash the Lakeshore Show. Nooks. First pitch at 6:35, but the fun lasts all evening.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday.
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this July 31st, 2025, I have your host, James, here. We're joined by our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H coordinator with UW Extension. Laura, really good to see you. Really good to have you in studio. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. We are in the middle of busy summer, and I can't believe it's coming to an end.
I was joking with Laura a little bit. I wasn't sure that she'd be in because how busy you guys are. Yeah. I just figured, oh, we'll talk next month or something like that. Maybe when things settle a little bit. But it's go time for the 4-H, and that's a wonderful thing to be. That's a wonderful time to be a part. A wonderful time to be a part of things, I imagine. I wanted to talk a little bit, if you don't mind. Tonight you have your 4-H swim night going on at the Aquatic Center. I love this event. I love that. Yeah, I love swimming. I'm going to be honest. I like 4-H and I like swimming, so it's a win-win to me.
You bet. So, you know, and I hate to like go back all the time, but to the pandemic, so many of our young people, like our middle schoolers right now, they were in like second, third grade during the pandemic. So sometimes we might look at something like a night celebrating 4-H at the Aquatic Center is just like a foolish bunch of silliness and fun. And while it can be that, it's actually like a super important part of what 4-H does.
Wow.
Because we need to make sure that our young people feel comfortable and safe with new people. They learn how to make friends. They can identify and meet with caring adults who can help them get through. And you know what? Sometimes the playground at school is the best place to do that. And maybe sometimes it's just just the swimming pool for 4-H that's a great place to help make all of that happen. And it's a way to celebrate summer and just get out and have fun.
We've talked, you and I, I've talked about this with our friends at the Y about how important it is for kids to be more and more comfortable and understand water better and better, especially this time, specifically this time of year. That part of it, I hope goes without saying, but just in case, I think that's another noteworthy thing about this event. That's great. Your point on this is so strong. I had not, of all the things I overthink in this world, this is not one of those ones I had when it comes to things that kids missed out on. I think it's one of those ones that as adults, we need to be more and more aware of going forward. And you're right. Nobody likes the C word. Nobody likes to talk about COVID or anything like that. But we experienced it. We got through it. And we need to learn from it. And so many of these things, we can only learn years removed and having a chance to breathe and really take a look at these things with a wider lens. And looking at it from that perspective, we have not done nearly enough for those kids, those that age that you're talking about specifically, that were in the COVID kids, you know, and having more events is great for them. And they need that. They need that real one-on-one experience and running into kids that they don't go to school with. And so many of those things that we're still getting a lot of this stuff back. I think that's something that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes too.
Absolutely. And, you know, with our overnight summer camps and our travel experiences and some of those kinds of things, you know, I think sometimes we take for granted how educational experiences can be just stepping away from the normal. So what's it like to actually have to share a room with somebody else that you don't really know? That's something that happens at camp. It happens at our travel experiences like Discover Wisconsin. What's it like to have to be in charge of your own where I am at what time? Like all of the, what's it like to have to pack your own suitcase for camp or travel experiences? And so I think it's important for folks to understand, like, yes, 4-H is an educational program. And sometimes when we think about educational programs, we think about sit down, get your hands dirty, you know, muck out the stall or, you know, decorate the cake or whatever it might be. And all of those things are. But sometimes the fun is the education as well, because we're learning how to, maybe it's how to make friends. Maybe it's learning how to manage conflict when two people aren't getting along so well. And how can we do that with a great result at the end where both parties can walk away feeling okay, right? And so I think one of the things that I appreciate about 4-H so much is that it's kind of like an all-encompassing education. I'm not just caring about the hard skills. I don't care if you know exactly how to hold that cake piping bag perfectly, right? I care also about how you react when your project doesn't look the way you wanted it to look. I care a lot about how you show respect and kindness to somebody who's trying to teach you. I care so much about giving you an opportunity to share the skills that you have with somebody else, right? So I don't know. It's just one of those things that I don't think people think about right away when they think about education. So
When we think about teaching anything, we don't really think about how important it is to learn to fail. And just to get yourself up off the ground and to pick yourself up after things don't go right. And there's so many of those opportunities that happen with this. And then there's so much else that there is no manual for. It's just things you learn as you grow up and you interact with people. All those organic moments and everything that you really can't. Well, I'm going to have my child experience this. Well, some stuff you can't really plan for. They just got to happen. There's a lot of that happens with these events, and it can really be fun for kids. As serious as I may be making it sound, it's all about fun and it's all a great time. And you get to go, not only that, but you get to check out the Aquatic Center a little bit, and especially for kids that haven't gotten to do that a lot or anything. So that's a really fun time.
You know, a few weeks ago, we were on this travel experience with middle schoolers called Discover Wisconsin. We got them all on a bus and we all headed over to Eastern Wisconsin. We rented a county private lake. It's called Ashwaubomay. And I watched a young lady climb up the ladder for the high dive.
Cool.
And you could kind of physically see her shaking, and she walked back down the ladder. And then I watched her kind of pace back and forth at the base there. And later I watched her go off the low dive. And then I watched her go off the high dive. And so nobody interfered with that process. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, I went up to her and I said, you know what? I want you to know how proud I am of you, because I saw your struggle and I saw you get through that. Mm-hmm. And I think you did a phenomenal job working through that. Right. And so those sorts of things can happen at the Aquatic Center with the slides and all of the things that they have there. And I want families to know that I am noticing, right? I am watching and I am celebrating those wins with children.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin's largest farm show, Farm Technology Days, is moving forward with a nod to the dairy industry. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Friday morning. Janet Keller is the new general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. She tells us that she thinks future shows will put more emphasis on dairy.
Obviously, we're in the heart of dairy here in Wisconsin. That's what our main infrastructure is built around. Most of our research, our university system, as well as our technical school system, features a lot of dairy-related learning and research and techniques and new ways of thinking about how to tackle the issues on the farm. And so we think that's where the most opportunity for growth and thriving into the future for this show is.
The 2025 Wisconsin Farm Technology Days is on a dairy farm, Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. The show is August 5th, 6th, and 7th. We'll see you there. Janet Keller along with us, the new general manager of Farm Tech Days. Stick around for more agribusiness news next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, cash corn was up 2.25 cents at $3.94 a bushel. December new crop corn up a penny and a half at $4.13 and 3/4. Cash beans were 6 cents lower, closing at $9.61 and 3/4. November new crop beans down 6.5 at $9.89 and 1/4. And new crop wheat down a half a penny at $5.23 and 1/4. On the dairy side of the equation, the 40-pound block cheese closed up a penny at $1.68 and 1/4. Double-A butter sat neutral after a roller coaster week at $2.47 and 1/4 per pound. Don't forget to follow along with all things agribusiness news at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter to get farm news delivered to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. It'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 45.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Forever Young Designs artist Spencer Young. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, so our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr brings new music from the best Wisconsin bands.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Free Ticket Friday, you can win Brewers tickets. So we're having a statewide drawing after several keywords on several shows throughout the day here. This particular show's keyword is fly, as in, you know, a fly ball out to center field, F-L-Y. Text that using the Civic Media app, and you could be in the running for 4 Brewers tickets to next Friday night's game, Brewers versus the Mets. You have to be able to receive electronic tickets on your phone and use them. If so, use that Civic Media app and text us the word fly. Continuing with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, all here as part of our Week in Review. There are stories that I just know would be different if there was an R next to it or a D next to it instead of an R. One of the most egregious ones, Jim, Justice Department dismisses case against a Trump donor. In early April, Donald Trump's White House, according to MSNBC, fired a career federal prosecutor in California because a right-wing influencer told the president that he should. Nearly 4 months later, Trump's Justice Department has dropped a case against the restaurant group Fat Brands and its chairman Andy Wiederhorn, which was the case the prosecutor was working on at the time of his ouster. He happens to be a 5-figure donor to the Trump campaign. I don't know, coincidence or not. It is tough to give this Justice Department the benefit of the doubt in making decisions on Trump donors, Jim.
And because they act this way, we shouldn't give them any benefit of the doubt here at all. This is yet another illustration, both the termination of a civil servant, let's not forget that, who's doing his job in prosecuting cases, and also the erasure, this complete busting down of any wall that previously existed, even to some extent, in Trump one term between the White House and the Department of Justice. You do not want a president, for precisely these reasons, picking up the phone and calling people at Main Justice and saying, I want this person prosecuted. I want this case suspended. I want this to stop. This is another example of that. And it not only undermines the basic focus of the Department of Justice, it produces situations where justice is not being accomplished criminally, civilly, when it comes to the ways in which we enforce our laws. If a president of the United States of America can now, as he is doing, use the Department of Justice to reward his friends, punish his enemies, that's not a Department of Justice, the only agency that has its name and aspiration. That is something else not working for us. It's another example of the diminution of that relationship between the White House and the appropriate relationship with people and the Department of Justice, and more of that to come, certainly in the next 3.5 years.
So moving that from the Department of Justice, Mark, to the newsrooms, Andy Wiederhorn is this guy's name. You can look up his public support. We've seen the pardons that Trump has given to people who have been supporters or donors. I feel like the American public should know the name of Andy Wiederhorn as well as they know Hunter Biden's name, because this and all these are such naked corruption. And yet, again, I feel like the news stories they would do if there were a Democrat in the White House are not. There seems to be a reason why I'm only seeing this on MSNBC's website.
Well, to me, the most alarming thing is that this has become normalized. In the news media, you know, it's like, well, all right, so Trump rewarded one of his friends with a pardon, or ordered the dropping of an investigation or of charges. I mean, the Eric Adams thing in New York City is like a gigantic scandal. If that had happened in a Democratic administration, you know, if you had killed an investigation or kill after an indictment, if you had decided to drop the case because just to help for someone to help you on some sort of policy matter, that would have been an enormous scandal. And so I think that the corruption, Trump's corruption, is so obvious to the news media that they've decided it's normal. And that, and the lack of this kind of maintained outrage about things like that is one of the things that's really kind of causing us to slide into fascism. It's just, I mean, when you start tolerating those things, people get away with it more and more, and the public just kind of, you know, turns off.
Jennifer, the way that we've normalized it, it also deals with framing things under Trump's actions. All right, here's the Associated Press headline. President Trump calls GOP Senator Josh Hawley second tier after a bill to ban stock trades in government advances. So the story is about, you know, Trump criticizing a Republican senator rather than Trump is standing in the way of a popular bill to stop members of Congress from gambling on Wall Street. But we frame it as Trump going on the on offense against a fellow Republican. That's not the greater issue here.
Well, the media generally has made a mistake covering every aspect of Trump from the start, right? So that's no surprise. I do think a big part of the problem is that there is a media outrage machine only on one side of the aisle, and it is huge. And I would argue it sets the agenda for what the news media covers and how outraged people are, how continuous the coverage is. You know, and when stories live and die in the regular media, it's because mostly, I think, of how right-wing media covers it. If right-wing media wants to get crazy, for example, about the Sydney Sweeney ad and make up a story about that so that they don't have to talk about Epstein, that will work its way into regular media. They set the agenda, and it's really unfortunate because what they want to talk about and what they don't want to talk about is mostly what's breaking through to America, I think.
You reposted something from The Atlantic, and the headline there was Republicans want to redraw America's political map. And we spoke in our last hour with Matt Henney from Courier, Texas, about the legislature, you know, once again gerrymandering the Texas map. And you posted it with this alternative headline, Republicans want to seize power and never give it up. That seems to me a bit more honest than Republicans want to redraw America's political map. Redrawing a map does not sound nearly as nefarious as this actually would be.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is that gerrymandering, I know you guys know it well in Wisconsin, and it's talked about a lot there, but it's not really a hot topic in a lot of the country. And I get to guess most people don't know what it means, and they surely don't know the impacts of it. So that's a story that's a five-alarm fire, what's happening in Texas with the map and the impact on the whole country. And I think there's a lot more work to be done on that to make sure that people are aware of what it means and how it could impact so many things. And so, yeah, when I saw that Atlantic headline, the story itself explains what's going on in Texas, but it's bigger than that. And so it's kind of like, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, this is could be a national problem, like what just happened in El Salvador. They just voted to basically make a president for life. Well, I kind of feel like we are heading in that direction.
It definitely has that feel to it, especially when you see how this wasn't even on Texas legislators' radar initially, and certainly not to this level till Trump said, do this, and they immediately fell into line. Jim, we talked in the last hour about this. I mean, Democratic lawmakers, you know, could walk out. They could, you know, flee the state again, but it only delays the inevitable. Where are we from the standpoint of challenging such obvious political corruption in our maps? Are they feeling that good about where the court system is these days that they can draw a map this bad?
They shouldn't be, because you do have both state courts and federal courts who are looking at these kinds of things and addressing whether or not there is, again, inappropriate racial gerrymandering. We know political gerrymandering is no longer on the agenda of the federal courts. That's as a result of the Supreme Court a number of years ago. But courts are still looking at these things. Interestingly, you may recall just in this past term, the Supreme Court, the case coming out of Louisiana, decided not to decide and bumped that one into the coming term. That's a very interesting case to take a look at come the fall and into next year to determine whether or not the basis, the purpose for redrawing Louisiana lines was racially motivated. It has to do with the number of Black predominant majority districts in that state. The courts are still wrestling with this. The other thing I would offer is, you know, as we've talked before so many times, state legislatures, the federal legislature can, if it wants, and yes, I know we've got to have the numbers to do it, do oversight of these things. Let's have some inquiries on Capitol Hill and here in the state of Wisconsin, in Madison, addressing these issues. What is going on? It should be geared ultimately towards some legislative purpose, but it can simply be informative and describing for the legislators what is happening among their constituents. Those kinds of things should be moving ahead. Obviously, in the present Congress, we don't have that because the majority, maybe when the 120th Congress is sworn in early January of 2027, there will be a movement to get more oversight on all of this.
Perhaps. A lot of this serves as a distraction from the economic turmoil out there, and I say that because the new jobless figures just came out for the month of July, and anemic doesn't begin to describe it. Non-farm payroll for July up only 73,000 jobs. That is, again, like we were saying yesterday with Sean O'Malley, it's not a recession, but don't give Donald Trump credit for us not being in a recession and for only taking us to the precipice of one. Mark, you reposted an article about how a newly declassified part of the so-called Durham report shows that Republicans used a Russian manufactured email as evidence, quote unquote, that Hillary Clinton conspired with Russia. I mean, again, this should be a blockbuster headline that Republicans either enabled themselves to be duped or willingly used false information. I haven't read this enough to know which one it is, but neither one is a good look.
No, and isn't it interesting that we're just finding out about this now?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Durham report, you know, was years ago. And it's all part of the attempt by the right wing to pretend that the Russian involvement never happened. You know, I mean, their ability or their attempt, at least, to erase history, you know, to just completely rewrite the facts is amazing. It's very Soviet. I mean, it's very much, you know, kind of. It's Orwellian, really, you know, to let's pretend something didn't happen, because, you know, that meeting at Trump Tower with the Russians did happen. We know it happened. A lot of Russian officials were indicted by Mueller after his investigation. I mean, we know there was involvement there. And for this Trump to say Russia, 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 and that's just code for the right wing thinking that the whole thing was made up, when we know it wasn't made up. It wasn't. And for them to try to erase history is really scary, because if they can do that, they can erase everything. I mean, as a journalist, the assault on facts is the scariest thing to me. The fact that because if you don't have a shared set of facts in a society, you can't have a functioning democracy. You just can't. And their assault on things that are demonstrably true is frightening.
It comes back to, again, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and maybe he was or wasn't the first one to say, you are entitled to your opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts. And that is not the world we live in anymore. I mean, facts are still facts, but there are some people that feel like they have their own facts. And if they just say them enough, enough people will believe them to keep them in power. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For the rest, whether you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or the Civic Media app, we're going to continue yapping here for a few minutes more with a Week in Review panel. And then we'll all be back together here at 8:05. And at that point, we are going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about her run for governor. It's been 8 days now since Governor Tony Evers announced he would not be running for a third term. Sarah Rodriguez is the first Democrat to announce, and we're going to learn all about that coming up right after the 8 o'clock news here on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoke, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Why are Interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
With the slides and all of the things that they have there, and I want families to know that I am noticing, right? I am watching and I am celebrating those wins with children, because those wins need to be recognized, especially when I witness the fail first. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? I saw you didn't give up. That's perseverance. That is strength. That is bravery. That is so much that is going to help that young person succeed.
I second everything you said there, and you're, I appreciate you sharing that story. I would like to also mention that I think it is just as valuable you taking the time to say that to her and giving her that moment. We need to do that more for young people as well. I'm not a believer in the everybody gets a trophy day kind of thing, because kids earn trophies already. They don't need to be handed one. They don't need one for no reason. Watch them. Watch what they're doing. They're going to accomplish something in that day that's like, hey, here's a big gold star. Here's an award. And note that. Make sure that they know how much that is an accomplishment. They're kids. They don't have the time perspective that we do of how much it means to get yourself up off the mat when you fail and that. Yeah. They're just in the middle of it. And sometimes it's a beautiful thing that they don't realize what they're accomplishing in some ways. But it's on us as adults to kind of note that and give them, build up that confidence as much as help them realize realize, hey, you just did something really cool there. That's awesome. And thank you for sharing that.
That was really hard and you did it. And that's amazing. Right.
It's really cool.
For sure.
Arr, mateys. Next week, Pirate Day Camp for youth at, in 4-H grades with 45 youth incoming. I had to, Laura. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize to everybody right now. But I want to talk about Pirate Week.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you.
A Pirate Day Camp, I should say.
Yeah. This year, we've always let people know that everybody is welcome to our programs, whether they are members of our 4-H program or not. And I don't know, maybe it's the excitement over the thought of being able to talk like a pirate or something. But the programs we've had this summer have had a record number of non-4-H members coming. And it's something that I'm stupidly proud of. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you that? Because sometimes 4-H is seen as this like, oh, it's multi-generational, like my parents were in it, my grandparents in it. Heck, mm-hmm. my great-grandma started the club that I belong to or whatever else. But you know what? Anyone can join 4-H at any time, regardless of age, grade, all of those kinds of things. And so of our 45 youth coming to Pirate Camp, we have five of them that are not 4-H members. And it might seem silly, but I am so excited by that.
Yeah.
Because first of all, it means that something caught their eye and it caught their excitement. And they want to send their kids to Pirate Camp where they get to walk the plank. We're going to be at Northwood County Park. And so if you've ever been to Northwood County Park, you know that bridge over the river and you know how it bounces and shakes as you cross over. Yeah. So silly, but big adventure for some young kids.
Definitely. That's going to be cool. Oh, that's, oh, you're being a part of that is awesome.
Yeah. And so like our programs also pull in other dynamics too. So the science pieces, the engineering pieces, the kids are going to be designing and testing pirate ships. It might be on a small scale, right? We're not actually going to be going and committing piracy on the Yellow River or anything like that.
Probably a good idea.
But we pull in the games. We pull in the activities that involve arts. They involve sciences. So our young people are learning so much without even realizing that they're learning. They think they're there for a really fun day, and they are. But they are getting these lessons that are going to come back and help them in the future, which I really think is a ton of fun. Like, I don't mean to be working through trickery, but that's kind of what it feels like sometimes.
Oh, yes, 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 100%. And I love it. I love it. And I'll say this, too. When I was a kid looking back on things, I loved it. I loved learning. And I think most kids do. And this is a great way, a fun way of doing it, too. That is going to be a great time. Now, are people able to still be a part of this? Are they able to still, or are you guys all locked up for it?
So I think for this one, we need to be locked down. Normally I would allow more people in, but we have rules in terms of like how many adults we have to have for kids. I had to go scrounging around for extra 4-H volunteers to come and help because we have so many. Our normal day camp would be 15 to 20 kids. We are more than double. And so I'm so excited to be welcoming some folks. But you know what? Next week, we are going to be at the Rapids Downtown Farmers Market on Thursday.
Cool.
So if you want to kind of get a taste of what 4-H hands-on learning is like, come and visit our, we'll have a booth where usually right next to the manager's tent at the farmer's market when we're there. So we will be there on the 7th. I think we're going to be there from 8 to 1. So stop on by. Kids of all ages are welcome at the booth. The 4-H program itself starts at kindergarten and goes through high school. But when you see us out and about in the community, come on by. Your 2-year-olds and your 3-year-olds and everybody are welcome. Those activities we set up are really all age appropriate, even if we do have to give those younger kids a little bit more adult help.
And you get a part of things now, and maybe you can be a part of next year's and some things like that.
Sure.
And even be ready for the August in the Central Wisconsin State Fair, one of the bigger events, I imagine, for the 4-H. You guys are going to be there this year.
Absolutely.
As usual.
I was going to say, we're there every year, but because we have Trina serving through AmeriCorps with us this summer, we're really able to do more in terms of hands-on activities.
Cool.
So the fair is a great family activity, but I recognize that it's a really expensive endeavor for a lot of families to go to. Not only is there, you know, the admission, but the food and the drinks and all of the kinds of stuff and the rides, like, wow, really expensive. So the Junior Fair Building is where our headquarters is, and we're going to be offering free hands-on activities throughout the week.
That's so cool.
Anybody can participate, right? You don't have to be a 4-H member. And in addition to the, like, just the fun kind of activities, this year we've got two community service projects that we want to invite everybody to get involved in as well.
Can we talk about those a little bit? Because I'll let the audience know I have the notes here, and I was really excited to talk about these with you. I think this is such a cool idea to do with the kids.
Yeah. So, and you know what? Kids and adults, we welcome everybody to come on in.
Yes.
So if there's something that you're interested in, please sit on down with us. But the first one is the Never Forgotten Honor Flight, mission number 53, leaves in September. And talking with a few folks who have been able to experience the honor flight, mail call is a really important piece to them. It's a really cool part. So join us in the Junior Fair Building, and you can make a card.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. We've gotten a brand new read on the jobs market, and it is slowing down to a crawl. The Commerce Department says employees added just 73,000 positions in July. 73,000, even less than the 100 to 120,000. Thousand many analysts were expecting. It compares to 147,000 jobs added in June. Most gains were in healthcare, social assistance, with losses in federal government positions. There are standouts. Economist Diane Swonk.
The only outlier has been in the tech sector, where they are doing layoffs, but the war on AI talent has caused a bidding war where, you know, some people are getting a lot of money that is pushing up wages in that one sector very rapidly.
Unemployment for July up to 4.2% from 4.1% in June. Again, jobs added last month, just 73,000. CBS News special report. I'm Deborah.